Well, good morning to you again. Pastor Carter is preaching off somewhere this morning, so I'll be covering his Sunday school class. So pray for me, and I'll pray for you. Amen. And Sister Molly, thank you so much for that song. There's going to be so many of us wanting to sing that when we get to heaven, aren't we? Oh, my soul. So we could do so much more, couldn't we? Well, open your Bibles to Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. And what I want to do, I want to go back and review a little bit from a couple of weeks ago. I didn't get to finish that lesson, and I need to review for myself, because like a lot of you, I don't remember. So, and I can probably review again in 15 minutes and start all over. That's the one good thing I always liked about working in the nursing homes. And you could teach the same message every week. And it would be better for me and better for them, amen? It just get gooder and gooder. So, anyhow, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking a little bit about how God is still in charge. And thank the Lord that He is still in charge, amen? And in the light of everything that's going on, you turn the news on and you see what's going on, all the craziness in the world, and I don't know about you, but it makes my skin crawl. I get so annoyed with everything that's going on and the stupidity of all of it. But at the same time, I know that God is still in charge. And we went to Jude in chapter 1 in verse 3, and we were looking at how we're supposed to be contending for the faith. We talked about that a little bit. And the first thing we think about is, yeah, we need to fight for our rights and stand up for what's ours, and we're ready to bear arms in a heartbeat. But that's not what he's talking about right here. You know, he was talking about contending for the faith right here where we're at. We were talking about false doctrines and false teaching. And folks, the church has been attacked big time. And the thing with it is why is it happening so much? Why is it so easy today? Have you ever thought about why it's so easy for a false prophet or a false preacher to go into a church and just teach anything they want to teach? And the people just go right along with it. Homosexuals in the pulpit. People go right along with it. It's because they don't know the doctrines themselves. They don't study. They don't study to show themselves approved, so they don't study the Bible whatsoever. So if you don't know anything about the doctrines, then it's pretty easy for somebody to tell you what they are, if all we do is just listen, and we don't bother to study or to read. And that's why in the book of Jude, he was telling us to contend for the faith. We should earnestly contend. We should put forth an effort with everything that we have, even here in our own church right now. Folks, if we don't contend for the faith, I promise you, it'll change. Over a period of time, it will change. Look at all the churches. Go back in the past when you was a child and look at churches then and look how churches are today. Even the most conservative churches have drifted a little bit towards the left. And that's because we're not contending for the faith. And it's up to the people. It's us. God's people, we should be contending for the faith. It should mean something to you. It should be important. The world today, why is it the way it is? It's the way it is because the churches haven't been contending for the faith. They haven't been taking the stand that they need to take. I remember as a child growing up, all women, I'm not picking on anybody, I'm just stating a few facts. Women wore dresses and skirts. It didn't matter where they wore. It didn't matter if they was at home or wherever they were, the grocery store, church, wherever. They dressed like ladies. I remember when most of the men wore suits. You know? And today, they don't even want to wear them to church. I'm just saying. And they said, well, these little things don't matter. These little things do matter. Because it changes your culture. And every time you take one step to the left, I promise you, there's going to be another. And then there's going to be another. And in our schools, folks, it's important that we fight for our schools. And this is one thing that we fail as Christians. Now, we have a Christian school here, and I thank God for that. But we still have a public school that belongs to us. Those are still our children in those public schools. And this is what's happening today. The Christians are abandoning the public schools because they're standing fast for the Christian school. And that's okay to stand fast for the Christian school. But the public school still belongs to the public. And we are the public. So when we don't take a stand, we don't show up at the meetings that's going on in the schoolhouses. We don't show up at any of the PTAs or anything that's going on. Most of us don't have a clue what's going on in the public school, except for we know it's not good. But we have stopped contending. Hey, that's part of our world. We have a right to contend for that. Those are our children. Those people are growing up, and they're being taught. And I'm going to give you an example. When I was a child, I want to say about third grade, could have been second grade, but I want to say about third grade. I had a teacher. I can't remember her name, but if she walked in the door, I would know her. And I still, you're not supposed to dislike anybody, but if there's anybody on the planet that I dislike, it's that teacher. Now, this woman, she would play a song in class. This is not music class, but she would play this song every day. And at this time, I had never been in a church in my life. I had never heard about Jesus. But she played Jesus Christ Superstar. And that just ripped my heart out as a child. And I'd never been to church. But I knew in here that it was wrong. And folks, that's what's happening. Well, that did something to me. I hated school the rest of my life. I would do anything not to have to go to school. I hated school. I despised school until the day I got out. That was the happiest day of my life. And honestly, when my kids went to school, it made me sick when they had to start school. It made me sick to my stomach because you don't know exactly what's going on in these classrooms. And all this stuff is going on, and we're letting it happen. Because we're not contending for the faith like Jude tells us. Hey, this is our everyday life. Everything that we do, we're supposed to be living our faith every day. Everything that we do every day. That's who we are. But we're not contending for the faith. We talked about that a little bit. And then we moved on. I'm going to read a verse to you out of Luke. And let me back up a little bit first. We went to James 2 and verse 14. And in James 2, 14, it talks about faith without works. Can faith save you without works? And I told you, we're not teaching works salvation. But that was a good question to examine yourself by. Folks, with everything that's going on in the world today, I don't know about you, but I believe the rapture's at hand. It could be before we get out of here today. Or it could be another 100 years, I don't know. But with everything that's taking place, it sure looks like it's pushing towards the mark of the beast to me. You know, so I mean, they're talking about you can't work without a card saying that you had a vaccine. You can't work, you can't travel, you can't go to, they don't want you to be able to buy groceries. So now I don't know about you, but that pretty much sounds like a mark of a beast to me. So we're heading that direction. So this question right here, what is faith without works? That's a good question to ask yourself, to examine yourself by. Because this is the way I see it. This is what James was trying to teach you. When you get saved and you get born again, the Bible teaches us that Jesus takes up residence right here. He moves in right here, and he lives with me, and he's inside of me. Now, if that's true, if Jesus is in me, how can I have absolutely no works whatsoever? Think about that. How can there not be any light in you and Jesus lives here? Now, you know, you can be backslidden and you can cover that light and you can dim that light, but it's always going to be there. You know, that's eternal life. It's eternal light. It's going to be there. So you need to examine yourself, because if there's no works there, and at least a desire, I mean, sometimes we get to a point that we just can't do things. I know that. God knows that. But that desire should be right here. And that's part of our faith. And if we don't have that desire, then folks, this is the time. The rapture could take place tonight. Now I want to read a verse to you. This comes out of Luke chapter 12 and 19. It says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry." This is a rich man talking. But we're going to look at the other side of it. God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? Now, we're not looking at that part of Scripture today. But what I wanted to look at is that, hey, there's no promise of tomorrow. We're so worried about today with the COVID and all this. Let me tell you something. They're not going to scare me with heaven. Amen. The worst thing COVID could do is kill you. Okay? That's the worst thing it can do. They're not going to scare me with heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. COVID can't kill me unless God decides it's going to kill me. Okay? So we as Christians need to remember that. That's our faith. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the world. It's not in propaganda. It's not in all the garbage that you see on the television. And by the way, folks, you need to cut that thing off. Because let me tell you something. This is what you're doing. You're putting all this garbage. Your brain is your computer. Mine's pretty weak. And it's slow. But your brain is your computer. And you're putting all this garbage into your brain all day long that you're watching on this brain box that you got in your house. You're filling your head with all this trash. How do you think you're going to live? What do you think your mindset's going to be? We need to be filling our brain with God's word. We need to be putting in what he says in here into our computer, because you're only going to get out of a computer what you put in it. You go home and you take the computer at your house or on that little smartphone that you got. Somebody put that information in there. And all you can get out is what was put in. And your brain's the same way. And folks, we're filling our brains full of garbage. We're listening to all this propaganda. Let me tell you something about COVID. I don't even want to get on its subject. But go home, take that little smart box you've got, and pull up the amount of deaths in the United States per year. Just pull them up for the last 5 years. Look at the statistics. And look at 2020 and 2021. And according to that, COVID hadn't killed anybody. There's less deaths than there was the year prior. Now, wait a minute. If COVID's killing all these people, why are the death rate number down? Because this is what's happening. You get COVID. I had COVID. You get sick from COVID. COVID sets up pneumonia in your lungs. That's the first thing it does. And then if you don't treat the pneumonia, you'll die. You die with COVID, right? No, you die with pneumonia. But they're going to tell you you died with COVID. COVID can also cause other problems. It can attack your organs. So if you have something weak, then it will attack that. That's just the way it operates. But we've been dealing with this for years. Flu does the same thing. It sets up influenza in your lungs and it kills you. Now, I'm not saying that it can't be dangerous. It can be. It can kill you. But that's not where our focus ought to be. We're born again believers. Our focus should be what? On the Lord Jesus Christ and his job. Can't you see how everything in the world is going on today? Everything that's happening is trying to shut down what we do as Christians. They're trying to gag us. They're trying to stop the church. They're trying to stop fellowship, even amongst families. They don't want you to see your family come Thanksgiving. They don't want you to celebrate Christmas. They don't want you to be with your families. They want to separate you. And I've already seen these mass police out here. I mean, if somebody hadn't got a mask on, they want to holler and scream. And some of them act like you have a disease. I mean, it's just stupidity. And the stupidity of the mask, it just drives me nuts. So I want to get off of that. But anyhow, it's we need to be focused on what we're supposed to be doing. And then we moved on and we was talking about the tower. Remember how we was talking about the planes hit the tower on 911 and the fire becomes so intense that people started jumping out of those buildings. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard to imagine. That, you know, you're 100 stories or 80 stories or however high they were up, and they begin to jump out of that building trying to get away from that fire. Think about that, folks. Can you imagine jumping out of an 80-story building? But when that fire starts approaching, you'll jump. So think about that, because people today are jumping in the fire of hell and don't know it. The bad thing about hell is that when you get in, you're not jumping out. You're going to be there permanently. And that's why I keep pushing on this issue. You know, folks, we need to be saved. We need to make sure that we're saved, because that day is coming. Now, it could be tomorrow for some of us, but the rapture's coming to take us all the church people. And then those who are left here, they're in trouble. It's going to be some bad times. We went into Revelations, and we looked at Revelations 14, 9, and 10. I'll read that to you. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Sounds like hell to me. Folks, that's what's going to go. And you can't jump out of that window. You're stuck there for eternity. You're going to be there for a long, long time. So that's something we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we don't end up here. Yeah, that bothers me so much, because I've talked to people that's been in church all their life, and they can't tell you how to be saved. Folks, being in church don't save you. Amen. Being a good person does not save you. But there's so many people that are so mixed up. And a lot of us, this is what we do. Now, you have no excuse in here. Because Dr. Carter has been teaching salvation for over 50 years right here. So there's no excuse in this church to be here and not know or not understand how to be saved. But it happens, because this is what happens. We come in. We come to church because we're supposed to. We know we're supposed to do that. And a lot of us, that's why we come. We're supposed to. And we get in our seats and we get comfortable and we go to sleep. And we might be sleeping with our eyes open. And what I mean by that is we're here and our eyes are open and we ain't heard a word. Nothing. When we walk out that door, we can say, what did they teach in Sunday school this morning? And they'll look at you with a stare. They don't know. Well, what did the preacher preach on? Jesus. That's all they could tell you. Why is that? Because we're not here for the right reason. Our heart's not in the right place. We're here because we feel like we're here out of duty. Well, folks, that doesn't make us saved. What makes us saved is accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get saved. But so many of us are coming to church for the wrong reasons. We need to be here. And if you're saved and you're here, you need to be paying attention. There might be one little nugget that you're going to get. You know, I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to the Bible. Now, Brother Bradley is coming up to preach for us this morning. Amen. Praise God. Now, if there's a rocket scientist around here, that would be Brother Bradley. Okay? He can give you big gold nuggets, all right? But you can get something. I don't care who's teaching. If you're teaching something out of this book, you can get a little bit. And every little bit, and you get enough of those little bits, of those little dots, and you begin to draw pictures, and you put pictures together, and you'll begin to understand what God's got for you. I'll never forget, my granddaughter and I was standing on my mama's front porch. Perfectly blue, clear skies. And out of nowhere, there was just a little white fog started to grow. And it got bigger, and it turned into a cloud. And that little girl looked at me, and she said, "Papa, look, God's painting." And that just touched my heart. But that's what he does. And when we're in Sunday school class and we come to church and you get those little nuggets, those little dots, and you start putting all those together, and God will paint you a picture. And you'll begin to learn and you'll begin to understand his word, and you'll grow and you'll grow and you'll grow. But we can't do that if we don't come in here with the intent of learning something, trying to get something out of whatever God's got for you. You know, I try my best to give you a little bit of something. You know, and that's all I can do. But it's up to you to do your part and pay attention as best you can. You know, if your neighbor's sleeping, pinch them or something, you know. We got the air conditioner down to 30. We're trying to keep you awake. I don't want you to sleep. So, you know, I tell everybody, if you're cold, bring a blanket, amen? So we're just trying to keep you awake. If it's warm in here, you'll be napping and snoring. So we're trying to keep you up. Anyhow, go with me to Thessalonians. That's where I wanted to get last week and never got there, and might not get there too much today. But I wanted to get into Thessalonians. The question that people keep asking me is, do you think that this vaccine is the mark of the beast? My answer, and this is my answer, no, I don't. Do I think it's coming? Yes, it is. Very soon. I don't believe it's going to be here until we're gone. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to give you an example. We have missionaries right here in our church that just left here a week or so ago. Missionaries to Chile. Now, in order for them to go back and serve as God has called them, they could not leave here without a vaccine. Okay? I do not believe that God's operating on both sides of the coin. Okay? I believe that they did what was right. They did not want to take it. Doesn't matter. They had to take it. And that might be the case of a lot of us. Sometimes we don't get what we want. But in order to function, in order to pursue giving the gospel, because that's what they're doing, they're sharing the gospel with those people. And what does God tell us to do in Matthew, the great commandment? What are we supposed to do? The great commission? We're supposed to spread the gospel around the world. Now, we can't do that if we all are landlocked here because we don't have a vaccine. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not telling you to take a vaccine. I don't want one either. Okay? But I'm just saying, in order for some people to do what God has called them to do, they don't have an option. I've already made my choice. Those missionaries that left here, they've already made their choice. Their choice was Jesus. They accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, which give what? Eternal life. Eternal life. And that can't be taken away. That's permanent. That's theirs forever. Let me read this to you. In John 10, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them from his Father's hand." That sounds like it's forever to me. It's eternal life. I've made that decision. No vaccine can change that. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing on this earth that can change that. I've made my decision. It's done. It's a done deal. Nothing can change that. So I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I'm not concerned about the mark of the beast. It doesn't concern me. It doesn't concern you as believers. The mark of the beast is for those who are left behind. That's who it concerns. It doesn't concern us. We're not looking for an undertaker. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for Jesus. And that trumpet's going to sound, and I believe it's sounding soon. Everything is setting up for the mark of the beast right now. This is a training session. You know, I've always asked myself, no matter how much you read and study the Bible, I'm like, how is all these people going to be deceived? How are you going to talk all these people into taking a mark? Well, guess what? These people, we're not going to be here. The rapture's pulling us out of here. We've made our decision. The lost people that's still here, they've got a decision to make. See, we've got to remember, when rapture takes place, the cross is withdrawn. Right now, we live in the dispensation of grace. All you've got to do is believe in the heart. If you want to go to Romans 10, it'll take you but a second to get there. Go to Romans 10. We've read this many, 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 many times. In verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, that's where we live today. That's all you got to do to be saved today, is believe in thy heart, the Lord Jesus, and confess with thy mouth. That's all you got to do to be saved. That's how we get saved today. We live in the dispensation of grace. We live in the greatest time ever in history. By God's grace, you and I can have eternal life. Folks, when we're raptured out of here, it's not going to be that easy. They're going to lose their heads. They're going to have to take a different stand, aren't they? See, you and I today, we have a hard time contending for what God's given us, and it's so simple. We just take any kind of a stand. All that's going to change. It's going to get hard. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm living in the grace age. I'm glad I'm living in a time that all I've got to do is believe and ask Jesus to come into my heart right here and live with me. Now, before we run out of time, look at Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That's talking about the lost. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That's what I'm waiting on. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Folks, that's what I'm looking for right there. I'm looking for that rapture. I'm looking for that trumpet to sound. That's where my hope lies. That's where my glory is. And no vaccine or nothing else is going to change that. If you believe what we read over in Romans, when the trumpet sounds, we're going out of here. But the important thing today is that we examine ourselves so that we know that when the trumpet sounds, we're ready to go. Because there's no promise. There's no promise of tomorrow. Folks, we don't want to be stuck here out of ignorance or out of pride. When we're right here in a good church where salvation is being taught every day, how sad would it be for somebody in here to open their eyes in hell? Because that's what's happening today. Churches, because we don't contend for the faith, churches all around the globe are teaching false doctrines. They're not teaching Jesus. You'd be surprised. I was witnessing to a woman a few months back. And she'd been in church all of her life since she was a little girl. And she had never heard that she could accept Jesus Christ and go to heaven. She had never heard that. I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe that. I'm like, what, you know? And she wasn't, and it wasn't some weird, strange church. It was an everyday denomination. I'm like, how can you be in a church like that and never hear about Jesus? But folks, it's because we're not contending for the faith. We're not standing up for what we ought to be standing up for. When you see things that are wrong, if it's in your church, say something. You're part of this church, are you not? Amen. You're members of the church. If you see something wrong, say something. Now, I'm not saying being a busybody, you stick your nose where it don't belong. But when you see something that's doctrinally wrong, say something. Let the pastor know, look here. And don't come with a bunch of foolishness, because there's always a bunch of busybodies around. But doctrinally, we got to stay true to the Bible. And I thank God for all the preachers we got around here. We got some good preachers around here. And they've done a real good job of staying conservative. But folks, the devil never quits. He's on every corner. He's everywhere you go, he's there. He's waiting for a slip-up. He's waiting to get in the door. And it's our responsibility. And like I said about the schoolhouses and whatnot, make it a point to go out to a school function. Folks, these kids, just because they're not in our Christian school, they're in our communities. They grow up to be governors. They grow up to be senators. Some of them grow up to be presidents, unfortunately. But that's what's happening in our nation today. That's why we're where we are today in our nation. It's because somewhere along the line, somebody slipped up. And parents at home, let me tell you something. This thing of don't do what I do what I say do, that don't work. That's not going to fly. Because your kids are watching everything you do. And when you come to church on a Sunday morning, you skip three Sundays, and you come back, and you come on Wednesday night, and then you skip five, and then you come back. You go home, put your britches on. You come in here and amen when the preacher says you ought to be wearing a dress. Let me tell you something. Your kids are watching. And this is what you're telling your children. You're telling your children it really doesn't matter. That's what you're saying. Actions speak louder than words, right? A picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, those are pictures that your kids see of you every day. And when you do these things, your children, in their minds and in their hearts, what they're saying is, well, that really doesn't matter to mom and dad. That's what their little brains conceive. And you know, the sad thing is, they're right. Because if it really mattered, if it really meant something to you, you're going to do it. And it's not easy. It's not easy doing the right thing all the time. But it's important because that's part of contending for the faith. How can we contend for the faith when we can't even control our own selves? We can't even get ourselves to church on Sunday morning. No, I'd rather go fishing. Or I'd rather go golfing. Or I want to go over to wherever. Folks, that's where we're at today. People are pleasure. They think more of the pleasure than they do of their God. Now, you know, I'm just like the rest of you. I enjoy certain things. I enjoy certain sports. I used to enjoy football. I wouldn't watch a game now if they paid me. You know? I think it's sickening now. That's sad. I don't want to watch a ball game. But I enjoy things just like other people do. But you have to try to put those things in perspective and make sure that they don't interfere with what you're doing for the Lord. If it's going to stop you from being in God's house on Sunday, don't do it. It's just that simple. Because we need to be contending for the faith. How can we do that when we're not even here? We're not here to support our pastor. We're not here to support our friends. Each and every one of us need to be supported. I don't know about you, but I need help. You know, you get out, and I'm like you. I work during the week too. And it's hard. You're out in that world every day. Brother Leo back there, you work every day, don't you, Leo? When you're out there in the world, it rubs off on you. You need to get in the Lord's house and get cleansed again. You need to get in here and get His word in that little computer of yours. It's important that we do that, that we generate. I'm going to tell you something. When I was in school, in Bible college, and by the way, I did enjoy that. I enjoyed Bible. That was the first time in all my life that I went to school that I enjoyed it. But when you're putting that word in you every day, and you go to chapel every day, when you're doing these things every day, you grow closer and closer to the Lord. And you feel that. And now when you get out into the work world again and you lose that, sometimes I feel like I'm being pushed away from my God. And it's hard because now it's up to you to make sure that doesn't happen. It's up to you to get yourself back where you need to be. And that's a battle because you got so many other things going on. Folks, we need to be thoughtful of all these things that we do every day because everything that we do is so important. My wife's a school teacher. A good one. But I think about those children every day in her class. Because, see, I hadn't forgotten that lady that I had that played Jesus Christ Superstar. So I think about these children and how lucky they are to have a Christian teacher in a public school. Folks, we need to fight for what's ours. We need to contend for these children's sake. Amen. And my time is up.